This is episode 15, Packard Pokes At. Packard is Grouchland.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news. Hello, everybody. Good evening to everybody, and thank you again for joining us here at Packard Pokes At. Oh, got a lot of good stories lined up for you this evening. Especially since I've been having issues with the podcast, trying to keep me volume eliminated here. This has been a challenging but interesting experience for me. Eric, how are you doing this evening?
I am celebrating the fact that we don't have Drew Brees next year.
Who's
for
that?
The New Orleans Saints.
Oh, that's okay. You have to. Is this football, baseball, basketball? What is this that you're referring to? I'm not into sports. It would eat up way too much of my time. What is it?
Basically, Drew Brees is a running back for the New Orleans Saints who has a problem running straight up and down. He likes to run side to side, and in pro football, you can't run side to side. Or my personal favorite, he runs backwards.
That sounds painful.
Yes, very much so.
Okay, on my left, and now being served for getting his cable installed, right there at the hospital, is our friend Dan.
Hello.
Yeah, Dan is Dan. Well, Dan, you tell us everybody what's going on, because I can't even describe it with words.
Well, let's see. I'm hooked up to an IV pump at the moment, and they just put in a little bit of Zofran in there, an anti-nausea drug, so that I can get my chemotherapy drug in about another 15 minutes or so. So I'm getting ready to undergo a hematopoietic stem cell transplant.
Does that come with fries?
Yes, it does. Good. Seasoned fries, as a matter of fact.
Nice. All right. Anyway, it's just there's so much technical stuff that's going on there with you. I told Dan as I Google circles, I said he's getting all this stuff installed. I said, hey, haven't put an HBO in while you're at it. I mean, hey, go for the full deluxe package. Anyway, let's get on to our tech stories for the night. Now, Facebook apparently had a glitch that was exposing private videos. Apparently, Facebook has areas where you can put up your private photos where no one else can see them, or videos. So if you put up a, say, naughty, dirty, erotic picture or video of you somewhere on your profile, well, unless your boss is like your friend on Facebook, then you should be okay them not finding it. But if they are, then, well... You're in for a big surprise, Dan. Since you're in probably half naked right now, anyway.
Oh no! I'm just casual, you know, shorts and a t-shirt.
Okay, well, what is your take on this?
You know, big security fail as far as Facebook goes. They should have known about this kind of thing a while back, unless it was something that they had changed, which had an effect down the road. I don't think Facebook does the kind of testing that they really need to, and it shows in situations like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, there may be some serious fallout.
Yeah, like Zach just said in the room, if you don't want anyone to see it, if you put it on the internet, someone's going to see it eventually. So if you don't want it to be seen, don't see it. Eric?
Facebook and privacy is an oxymoron.
Like military intelligence?
Well, it depends on what branch of the military we're talking about.
Any, whatever, doesn't matter.
Coast Guard.
Coast Guard. You know what? All I gotta say is those cats can, if they really wanted to, they could bomb with pinpoint accuracy from several miles away. So
yep.
I, I'm not gonna say.
Yeah, you're just like the one. You're just afraid of getting bombed, and you want to wait. Well, you want to wait to hit the bar to get bombed, right?
Well, and you know, really, my family is a military family, so you know, I will always support the military, and those are some bright people. I'm gonna actually defend them here. I don't think.
I tell you what, you're a lot closer. You're a lot closer to the coast than I am.
Yeah. Same here. And besides, Eric, I tell you, I come from a military family. My father was a Marine. One of my brothers was in the Navy. That's one of the reasons why I know that they're crazy. And my other brother was a National Guardsman. I was the only one that broke the chain of being in the military of any kind. So yeah. I know what it's like. I know what where you're coming from in that respect. But you got to understand that I've been around military people too, and.
It's like anything. You have your good people and you have your bad people. So, yeah. Well, like I said, I'm sticking to the middle on this one.
I think I'm out of your mind. No, but anyway.
The thing is, it's like, first of all, if you're going to be putting naked pictures of you or video of yourself that you don't want your boss to see, you know, it's like, this is the issue that we have stopped discussing, and especially younger people don't understand, is that if it's online, it's going to be seen, you know? So you always have to be very, very careful of what you're putting online, and it's just no one understands that until something bad actually happens. Like all this sexting stuff going on. I mean, you got to be, you know, it's almost like we got to talk to these little boys and little girls and sit there and say, look, if you're going to send a picture to your little significant other and not expect that significant other to show other people, then you're dumb.
Yeah,
you know, and that's the same thing here. I mean, how many times has Facebook had privacy violations? You know,
yeah.
Personally, if it's my choice, if it wasn't for the fact that you know everyone I knew is on Facebook, I wouldn't even be on it because I don't personally like Facebook. In fact, my time, really and truly, my time on Facebook, it's just the chat. Other than that, I don't use it for much. You know.
Yeah, I get people who send me pokes and people respond to my stories that go from my Twitter account out to there. But I agree, you know, if you don't want it on the internet, then don't put it. However, I'll tell you something, honestly, most, with the exception of very rare cases, most bodies are pretty much all the same. If I put up a picture of, say, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is, how is anybody going to be sure that's exactly mine? I mean, it could be, it very well could be. But I mean, it's there are always subtle differences between everybody. But
well, I'll put an example like this. You know, it's like I'm a teacher, and I always have to be very, very careful what I put online. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't exactly be putting. It's kind of like the Representative Wiener situation, you know, where it's like you really didn't get his head shot, but at the end of the day, they figured out what was going on. You know, it's like you're. Whenever you're a public figure like that, you always have to be very, very careful what kind of images you show.
I guess when you become a public figure, you don't have genitals anymore. Is that what the problem is?
Well, you just don't show your genitals to everyone, especially 27-year-old women whenever you're married.
Apparently you don't know Representative Wiener like I know him.
Okay, then our next story is Google's privacy has been going around because Google has been taking people with unusual names or, in some cases, handles, and they've been, like, tossing them out the door so that you cancel their account or they knock them off of Google Plus. Now, apparently, Google is now – the name policy has been very frustrating for them. Now, instead of just knocking you off, you get a warning because of all the backlash they've been getting. This has been a big issue. I mean, for myself, I've been waiting to get this letter. I have not been gotten it yet. I know there's some other people who are on Google Plus right now that I talked to here on Twitter as well.
You mean your name's not Packard Sonic?
Really?
What? My mind has been blown.
I do that for privacy reasons. I mean, I want to be public, but I want to do it privately. If that makes any sense? Because I am gone a lot. And yes, I said that on the podcast. I've gone a lot, and I don't want people to be able to find out my real name so I don't get robbed. Because there have been stories of people getting, they say, oh, I'm going out and whatever. And they use their real name, and they go, oh, well, this guy's going to be gone for a few days. Let's see if we could look him up in the area and see if he's nearby so we can rob him. So, and I can under, and so that's why I use my pseudonym name like this. I have thought about changing my name legally to this, but then I hear from my friends, they go, yeah, you do that, and you've got to open up a whole new can of worms. I was like, yeah, I kind of figured that. But anyway, Eric, what is your thoughts on the Google changing their confession on why they think it's so frustrating for them to boot people off this for this reason?
Well, if it's in their terms of service, you know, one of the things that I think they're trying to do is prevent a lot of companies from coming online,
mm-hmm.
and having them take control of things, kind of like what you saw with Mashable, breaking news.
Mashable got theirs back. They just changed it to
personal names.
Yeah, personal
the
names.
The other good thing about it is that now people can't be jerks. Anytime you go into like a lot of these chat rooms, especially with public figures and stuff like that, people can just be, we'll just say whatever, even though it might make no sense.
Yeah,
could be some of the most hate-filled information, that type of stuff. And this kind of makes it up front and center. You know, you can't hide behind a pseudonym.
So you think because that they're using their real names, they're going to be nicer online?
I think so. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you'll still have jerks. People will be jerks regardless of that. But I think it may quell some of that because, you know, you're not hiding behind a name anymore. And on top of everything else, we have to remember, what is Google's number one revenue generator?
Search.
And what?
Advertising.
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 Yes,
right. They want to know who you are.
Yeah.
You giving them a pseudonym isn't telling them who you are. It's giving them a pseudonym.
Yeah, but you do give them. They do have an option. I remember when I signed up, you have an option to put in your home address. I mean, what more do they want? They have everything. They have in my other profile. Your profile is public. They stopped with the private profiles. If you had a private profile, it was deleted or canceled or whatever. And now they've got the public profile, so all profiles are public. And there are areas where you can add a nickname to the description. So I don't understand their whole beef on this, because I used on mine. I used to just my handle as my name, and my name is and this is my name. So it's the same way. It doesn't. Maybe I don't know. Maybe these people who get booted off, they put something else in there, and it kind of tossed everything around. I don't know. Dan, your thoughts on this?
I think Google's going to have to change their stance on this. There are some really very good reasons for pen names or pseudonyms, particularly online.
Mm-hmm.
And, they trump, in my opinion, they trump Google's reasons for wanting real names. There's already a system of trust on Google Plus, and that's the fact that if you want to see what someone says, you put them in a circle.
Yes.
If someone wants to see what you say, they put you in a circle.
Right.
You aren't really able to intrude on anyone unless someone lets you intrude.
Right.
If you violate that trust, you get dumped out of the circle. You get blocked. It's a self-policing kind of system.
Yep.
And there's no need for an actual birth certificate name behind every account. It's just not necessary.
Do you mean if President Obama could join and no one's going to ask him for his birth certificate? Woohoo!
Well, I can't really say that, but... Now I do see another thing that they're trying to avoid with this is they are trying to avoid let's say one person or one group of people setting up dozens and dozens of accounts.
Yeah.
But like they do on Twitter when they spam.
Oh, Dan's cutting out.
Because it works, I don't think it's going to be open to as much spam as Twitter is.
Yeah, you mean like our favorite idiot that spams us every few hours? You know who we're talking about. I don't want to give out his name because I don't want to give him any credit whatsoever. But the other reason I can see why we wouldn't want to use our real names on this, in my opinion, is because like if you're over in say China and you have a repressive government, I mean, you're not going to want them to know your real name, so you don't get thrown in jail. And or worse, killed. I mean, then you're basically protecting your identity from the oppressive government. And there have been plenty of instances where someone has put up their name on there, or even if they close to their real name, then they get found out, and then the government takes action. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in that situation either. So, anyway, our last tech story for this evening. Now, as everybody knows, this summer, we've had a really bad heat wave come boiling through. And a lot of places have either had some brownouts, or because of storms, or the weather had knocked out the electrical system. The smart grid, because we've got this old aging grid of electrical outlets out there, or power plants or whatever, they can't handle it when everybody decides to turn on their air conditioners all at the same time. You got your big factories, shopping malls, whatever. I remember a few years ago they had what rolling brownouts they were called. Because you couldn't have your stuff on between certain times because the grid wouldn't be able to handle it, otherwise everything would snap and go bad. But this smart grid that they've been working with this last few months, they've been able to balance the demand between for the electrical power and what we need, because they basically, sometimes it was basically, it's called like a virtual power plant, because it's able to maintain the grid stability. Eric, your thoughts?
Smart grids really seem to be very so far seem to be a positive step in the right direction. The only thing that makes me worried about smart grids,
yes,
is if I choose to have my thermostat set to, like, let's say 70 degrees.
70
I want my
degrees.
Thermostat to be at 70 degrees. Don't kick up my thermostat to 78 degrees just because you need more power, you know?
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, if in this situation it's helped, and I've seen some things with smart grids that look very positive. The only thing that...
Are you afraid they're going to, like, adjust your heat if you have it set 70? They're going to kick you down to 68?
Yes.
No, it doesn't work that way. A smart grid, it variates the power around.
The power, right.
Yeah, it does vary the power, but they're not going to decrease what's coming into your home to say, oh, you're using up too much power. No, it doesn't work like that. I mean, with the old grid, what they did is you either was on or it was off. And that's why they had, mm-hmm, that's called the rolling brownouts there. So, I mean, they're not going to go, oh, Eric's sitting at 70 degrees. Well, he's using 2 degrees more power than he really needs. No, I'm sorry.
I saw a video on it, and it's been a while since I've seen the video. So, before I make myself sound any dumber than I already have.
Is this possible, chat room? No, I'm just kidding, Eric. Go ahead.
I'll like to go back in, because I remember sitting there going, wow, that's actually kind of cool, and then like as my brain started kind of working it out a little bit, say, well, the only things I have to worry about is this. So I would like to go back and study the situation a little bit more,
mm-hmm,
before I give any official comment. But, you know, if we're having a lot more things that we plug in, we're having a lot more things that,
oh, yeah,
are going to require a totally different power grid and infrastructure. And we've talked about this before,
mm-hmm,
and I think that for the future, we really need to start looking at these situations and start building a more a infrastructure with our power grid system that will be able to handle this stuff.
You know what I think would help is there's a several months ago, maybe even last year, a device called a Bloombox. It attaches to your gas or it's solar, and it helps compensate for all this power that we'd be using. Or you could even, if you actually generated enough power, you could actually sell it back to the electric company. So you actually make money instead of having to spend it. Dan, if you're still there. Dan?
Yeah, still here.
Okay, we lost you before. I was like, where'd you go? I didn't know if the nurse came to change you or change the band.
No,
or whatever.
It's that free wireless here in the hospital. I get what I pay for.
Yeah, you get what you pay for. So what's your thoughts on this?
There was It's been a few years now, but there was quite a bit of testing going on with broadband over power lines.
Yeah, I remember that.
And one of the big things about the broadband over power lines is it allows a lot more efficient monitoring of the power grid. And if there is an outage somewhere, the power company immediately knows exactly where that outage is and how many people are affected and what to do about it. That's the kind of smart grid that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Broadband over power lines has its issues because ham radio operators are up in arms because it apparently creates quite a bit of interference on certain bands that they use. But regardless, we're stuck in the 50s and 60s with a lot of the power systems we've got set up, and even further back in some areas.
Yeah.
And it's going to hurt us. We're vulnerable to all kinds of problems, and that infrastructure is where we need to be investing a lot of time and research. It's not going to be cheap, but nothing is. We don't have to throw trillions of dollars at it. Right. We need to do it smart, and we're going to have to.
Yeah, there is. If we don't do I was listening to one of my podcasts this morning, and if we don't do it now, it's going to cost us more in the long run. So if we do it now, get it out
of
the way.
Well, I thought they had $1 trillion set aside for shovel-ready projects that weren't quite as shovel-ready as they thought they were. Couldn't some of that money be spent on this stuff? I'm just saying.
A lot of it is political greed.
Yeah. I completely agree.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but I was really close to it. But I was going to say what...
No, you can say it. It's political greed.
No, I was going... Well, political power greed, yes, for my political points. A lot of places, they were offered this money to up their infrastructure. Wisconsin was one of them, and we got Walker in, and then he says, "Oh no, we don't want that money now." It's like, excuse me?
You also have to be aware of what is tied to the money that's being offered. Government doesn't just ask for something for free. There's more to it than just
The thing is, though, Eric, if they were giving this money, every state is allotted a certain amount of money. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That was one of the allotments, and for Wisconsin here. If we want to get money for our road systems, we have to comply with a certain either speed limit or drunk driving law things out here. If we don't comply with that, we lose that funding. That's how
right.
It works.
That's what happened down here. Is they wanted us to raise the legal drinking limit from 18 to 21, and we kept on saying, nope. So guess how they attacked us? They went and they started cutting the funds for our roads.
Yeah, and you know what? If they want you to bring the legal age up, then just what's wrong with that? Just do it.
But it's state right versus federal right. Nowhere does it say that. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say federal government has the right to. Now, that's what I was saying. If they don't want to take the money, it is a state's right not to take any money. That is their right.
However, they suffer
the consequences of it. But that's the decision that a state has to make.
Yeah,
the state says, I want the money, therefore I will accept it, or they don't. So if in your case, if Walker says, I don't want to take the money, therefore I'm willing to accept the consequences where I can't fund certain things, that is the state's right. The federal government was never designed to be giving money to anyone other than... for the military and a couple other things. But state always has precedent over everything, minus federal regulations.
So you're saying the state constitution trumps a...
No, I'm not going to say that, because whenever you look at the Bill of Commandments... Bill of Commandments.
The Bill of
Rights.
The Bill of Commandments?
And the other amendments, along with... everything is pretty defined in the Constitution as far as what basically it says is, if it's not in the Constitution, it falls upon the states. And the thing is, now government has billions of dollars in money that it tries to sway political means in states with.
Yeah.
And like I said, if Walker D. did not accept the money in this case, or even in my case, if Louisiana didn't accept the money for whatever reason, then guess what? They accept the consequences that come with it. And if the electorate does not like it, guess what you need to do? You need to vote out the people who are in charge. That's why it's more important for the states, for states and local governments to have power than federal government, because it's easier to unelect a state official and a local official than it is to unelect some jerk at the federal level. That's why the founding fathers were so scared of those people or having a strong federal government.
Eric, you've jumped right into the politics section. I didn't even play the song. We're already we're talking about technology, and you're jumping right into politics. Man, you're just like, wow. But seeing as how we are heading that way, we're going to table the last story because it was, even though Eric threw it in there, it was a good story, but we're running long again. So
stupid Republicans.
Damn right.
That's what I'm going to say on that one. It's a good one. I'm actually against the Republicans on that.
Now, here in Wisconsin, the DMV tells a boy that his bank account doesn't show enough activity to get a voter ID. There's a video of this. This lady went to the DMV. The link will be in the show notes at packerpokes@wordpress.com. I strongly suggest you watch it. I tweeted it out earlier this week. I was amazed. This guy's like saying, "Oh, well, his bank account doesn't show enough activity." Since when does activity on a bank account prove that you're a resident? I could have a bank account in every state in the country and go and get a voter ID card or whatever, because if I show enough activity on it, I mean, really? Does that mean I can vote in all 50 states because I have a bank account in every 50 states and a voter ID card in every 50 states? Not saying I'm going to, because that would take way too much time, and I don't have or money to travel all that way. But that's just really incredibly stupid. The fact is that these people, this is used to suppress voters, all right? Because the story just made me livid, because this is happening in my own state. Walker has made it next impossible for any voter to be able to, or anybody to, that does not have either current. What about this? Let me back this up. Like a student. Most students certainly don't have driver's license because they walk and forth, back and forth to school, to their college, whatever, and they don't have a driver's license. So they're being disenfranchised. Dan, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, there are several places that have the video linked up. One place in particular, a newspaper in South Carolina, because they're getting ready to pass some similar voter ID legislation down there. And part of the article, they were talking about, you know, here we have a young white man in, North Central U.S., what's going to happen to the minorities in South Carolina when they're having to deal with similar legislation?
Oh, yeah.
It's not a very pretty picture when they're requiring voter IDs in the manner they're doing it.
Right. And what was really kind of surprising is that the state people there, they weren't told that they would get charged. It's called a poll tax. Poll tax are illegal, as a matter of the last time I checked. That the fact is that they don't tell them that they're going to, if they're getting an ID, they have to say, "Oh, this ID is for voting," and then it would be free. But if you don't ask for it, they charge you for it. They don't have to go out of their way. They automatically assume you're there for the, I know it's a DMV and everything, but they automatically assume you're there for a driver's license. So, or even if you tell them it's for an ID card, they say, "Oh, well, I'm going to have to charge you." And then let's say it's a voter ID card. Oh, and then it's free. So, but they will not go out of their way to tell you. Eric, your thoughts?
What is Alternet, by the way?
Alternet?
Yeah.
It's called the site is Alternet, alternet.org.
Okay.
They take Alternet Alternet News. It has a big swish logo and it's yellow and white.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, I'm looking at the source here, because there are plenty of times I send you news stories that you don't believe because of the sources I pull it from.
I understand, but I watch the video. I watched the video.
I've got a link up to the one in Charleston, the article in Charleston
Here, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. If this is actually going on, I don't agree with this, because the issue is that, first of all, Wisconsin should have no right to your bank account.
Yeah, that's privacy.
That's privacy. So I don't even know why they're even looking it up. I don't even know what the deal is with this.
Now, the guy had to bring in some proof of ID. There are certain registering requirements.
Proof of residency, basically. Yeah.
Proof of residence is one thing. But if they're actually looking at the kid's bank account, and unfortunately I didn't get a chance to see the...
Oh, you should see this video. It'll
yeah, I didn't see the video, but they shouldn't be telling him anything like that. You basically, if he provides the proper paperwork, he should be given the right to, given a voter ID, that you know, if he has all the paperwork that's required, nothing else should matter. If he has the paperwork that your state requires, that's it.
Yeah, there were several things that are required for it, and basically they can be summed up. All in one thing. If you have a driver's license, you covered everything except for the Social Security card, and that's it. There's five things, and it just floored me when I saw this. That's one of the reasons why I've been so grumpy this week, because the news has just been the voter suppression and things like that. It's just been driving me insane.
Really? Only the voter suppression has been driving you insane? I can think of a whole bunch of other things going on right now that would be driving me insane.
Well, there was that time.
And I can come up with a few new things if you want.
Oh, sure. I've been talking about this before we started the show. I've been a little grumpy this week and for a variety of reasons, but this has been one of them. This has really been on my mind. This and several other things, and they're just who spoke last? I'm sorry, Dan, your thoughts on this?
they're trying to address a problem that doesn't exist.
Yes.
I saw something that said there were more people struck by lightning in Wisconsin last year than there were incidents of voter fraud.
Yeah, that's about it too.
You know, there is no widespread voter fraud going on.
I know there's widespread fraud going on anywhere. It's all in the Republicans' hallucinations. I mean, they believe in a god. Why not believe in voter fraud?
Okay, let's not make it solely political party, because Democrats do their own fair share of stuff.
It's not. Yeah, if there were Democrats in a similar position, I would not put it past them to try the same stuff.
Yeah. There were Democrats
I'm guessing gaining political power.
Yeah, I'm guessing. What I'm thinking is there really should be a lot of job openings in the DMV in Wisconsin coming up real soon. There should be, but I'm sure there won't be.
Yeah.
Because every single one of those people that put something in the way of this young man getting his voter ID needs to be fired.
Yeah.
They are doing their utmost to keep someone from exercising one of their primary rights in this country. And that's inexcusable.
Yes, it is. It is very excusable. This has been an ongoing issue ever since Walker came into power and pushed all these new crazy laws into effect. It just drives me nuts. Okay, next story here. The CME group calls the tax situation untenable, says Exit Sites. Eric, since you threw this in there, why don't you give us the lowdown on what all this is?
Okay, so there's a big, huge company out in Chicago that's been there since 1848. It's based in Chicago. And right now, Chicago evidently is increasing taxes on businesses, and I don't know if it's going to be the wealth, but I'm going to say businesses right now. Rahm Emanuel, who was a aide to President Barack Obama is now the mayor of Chicago. And so the taxes are starting to increase to try and help them solve their debt crisis. Well, this company that's been there since 1848 is now starting to – is thinking about exiting from the state. So that means Chicago, who is already in certain – is already having problems economically, will lose a business and jobs. Unless those people want to move.
Well, didn't you say several podcasts before that if before the U.S. had bailed out that car company, they should just be let to go, let them fall, let them fold, whatever, because they screwed up. Isn't this basically the same thing? You're taxing
businesses for the mistakes of the state, whereas in the other side, first of all. I think corporations and government should never mix. They should be two totally separate entities. Because government will never run a business correctly, and business will never run a government correctly.
I don't think religion
and two totally different things.
I don't think religion and government should mix, but constantly we've seen these religious nuts out there. So why not, if that's mixing, why don't we just go – then what's the problem going the other step then? I mean, if you're going to do one, do the other.
Well, it depends on – again, you're talking about something that depends on belief. I'm talking about what I believe, not what
– Yeah, I know. I'm just poking the bear here, so.
I know. But the thing is like, whenever it comes to businesses, like the problem with the car industry was that in certain aspects, unions were hurting the industry because they kept on demanding more and more and more, and it got to a point
more,
that
more
whenever
– More and more what? You mean safety – wages,
higher salaries, higher
voting.
Well, but and higher benefits and stuff like that. Like they had some stories out there that were discussing. And I got to dig them up. They're discussing some people in the car industry who were paid to basically do nothing. And then once you start talking about benefits and stuff like that, a lot of that it costs money. And you know, one of the things that happened was a lot of these unions were when things are going good. I've always said when things are going good, yes, you can ask for more things, you know, because things are going well. But when things are going bad, either you got to take a cut somewhere, or you have to be willing to.
Well, that's the whole point of joining a union. So you don't. So if you're set at a certain rate, and it's a call to protection. Okay. So
I understand I understand the points of unions. But
there's not
the thing.
Like unions are everywhere.
You have a decision. Either you take a cut somewhere or you don't have a job.
All right. Well, for example.
Those are two decisions. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, a corporation's job is to make money for its shareholders.
Yeah.
That's what its sole purpose is.
Yeah.
We can pretend like it's trying to help out the people and all that good stuff. But at the end of the day, it's to make rich people richer. That's what its purpose is, or whoever's investing. I shouldn't say rich
and
people.
And the poor people poorer.
But that's its sole purpose. Everything else is a benefit. So either
basically
figure out every way possible to make money.
So you're saying make the rich people richer and step on the workers and screw them.
It's not necessarily step on the workers because here's
the
other side of it.
The
people,
union,
if you don't like what a business is doing, you have every right not to buy from a business.
Yeah, of course. If you don't like what they're doing,
and
but
I think money has far more power. Money will always have far more power. Example, if you don't like a product that Chevy's putting out, are you going to buy that product? No. If enough people don't buy the product, guess what's going to happen? Either A, Chevy's going to do whatever it needs to do to build a product that people will buy, or it's going to go out of business.
Yeah, I understand that.
And if it's spending more money than it's taking in, something needs to give somewhere. And that's what the problem with that company is. Now, in this case, the company evidently has money, and the tax situation is going to be to a point where the company can most probably make more money other places. Like I said, whenever a corporation's sole purpose is to make money, to make its shareholders happy or whoever is invested in the company. And I shouldn't have said rich people rich because – a whole bunch of people. Pensions are involved in market shares and stuff like that. In fact, my retirement and all that, some of that is inside of markets.
Yeah.
So I want companies to do well. I have a Roth IRA. I want companies to do well because if they're doing well, guess who makes money? For retirement, I do.
Right.
And I understand it's a very selfish thing, but you know what? When it's the end of my life, I want to be sure I have enough money.
So I see what you're saying is that if as long as it's you – that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at, though. It makes it sound like – I'm just saying that you made it sound like when it comes to you, you know, hey, I'm in my union, whatever. I deserve to get it because it's me. But those people over there, forget them. Screw them. No, I don't think so because unions have been very good to this country. Any place that doesn't have a union or does not allow unions to negotiate for wages, benefits, and things like that,
It's not so much that I'm against unions as much as I'm saying, has it ever been a case in a union where they have, like when GMC was doing bad, have they ever negotiated for less pay?
I don't know. I've never been in a union. My mother was in a union. If she was alive, I could ask her, but that, you know, since Ouija boards don't work, I can't ask her. Now, the thing is, though, now, take, for example, wherever there's a union or negotiating rights, Wisconsin being one of them, was anyway, the state didn't have a deficit. Texas, for example, no union rights down there. The state is in the toilet. Of course, you got a guy that believes that wears magic underwear and thinks God's going to solve his problems. But anyway, that's a whole other story. Since we didn't get to the story last week, let's jump to this really quick and just give us a quick... Oh, Dan, did you want to have any thoughts on this before we get going? I'm sorry.
Yeah, real quick. The company in particular, CME, is in financial trouble to begin with.
Yeah.
Their stock has dropped like 25% in the last 6 months or something like that. And I think they're just using this as an excuse. Corporate tax rates in Illinois did go up. One person who is local to where I live in Illinois is the owner of Jimmy John's.
Yeah.
And he's known for being somewhat of a blowhard, and he was making some waves that he was thinking about moving the corporate headquarters if the corporate tax rate went up.
Yeah.
And he was just blowing off steam. There wasn't anything to it. The corporate tax rate in Illinois is still... I think Illinois was ranked 18th. So it isn't the most expensive place to do business. If the corporate tax rate was the end all be all of where places want to have their corporations, every corporation in this country would be incorporated in the same single one state with the lowest tax rate.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. There are way too many more variables. If CME wants to move somewhere, it's not the corporate tax rate that's doing it.
Yeah, it's just pure greed that's doing it. Nothing else beyond that. Last story, we wanted to get to this last week. Eric, you said you had something that you wanted to stick it to the Republicans on. So
yes.
I left it in there. So let's get this in there and let's get it on the line here. Washington Wire? What is this exactly?
Yeah, well, it's actually what's going on is the conservatives are creating advertisements that are trying to entice Spanish voters.
Yeah.
And my issue with this is this. Republicans,
yeah,
more in the conservative party, have been very anti illegal immigration.
Yeah.
Because they've always said, I'm going to take them for their word. It's not legal immigrants that they're fighting against. It's illegal. And we've talked about this before where we've discussed about the border fence.
Yeah.
And how we all pretty much think it's a stupid idea because it is not going to solve any case.
It is.
But it's almost kind of like a little racist thing because you never really hear them discuss building a border fence along the Canadian-U.S. border. Usually whenever they talk about it from the south. So I don't know why Canada is so much better than it is along the Mexican border.
Maybe because they give us hockey. I don't know. Maybe there's more because there's more trees there, and they figured they want to cover the desert. I really don't know.
Right, and there are issues within the immigration that I think needs to be addressed. But the thing is like here are the Republicans sitting there saying, "Oh, we need to build a border fence along the Mexican-U.S. border. You know, we need to get rid of all these illegal immigrants." But if you get rid of all the illegal immigrants, no one will be doing some of these jobs because there are certain people who don't do the jobs to begin with.
Right.
So, you know, the thing is, we need them. You know, we need these people.
That's why they repealed that law in Georgia because all the crops are going bad.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's basically they're doing jobs that people in America don't want to do anymore. And that's what it's boiling down to. And really and truly, it's like you're not going to – it's almost hypocritical for you to sit there and go, hey, why don't you vote for us? Because this Barack Obama guy is a really bad guy. You know, he's really not worried about y'all. You know, all this other good stuff.
When they're trying to keep him out.
Meanwhile, hey, let's build a fence along the Mexican-U.S. border. I mean, it's kind of like you're not willing, you're not winning any votes here.
Yeah, exactly. Dan, your thoughts on this?
It's, you know, there are, you know, there are Hispanic Republicans.
Yes, they
and
are.
You know,
did they get checked into the psychotic ward before they voted? No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dan.
No, you know, Central Florida is a big place where there really are a lot of Republican Hispanics from, you know, of Cuban ancestry.
Yeah, and that's because they see what happened with Castro.
Yeah, but you know,
voting for Castro now?
It's all a big PR game, and you know,
yeah.
When it comes down to it. Immigration reform, you know, is a big issue, but it's just one of many, many issues with the Republic, yeah. with either party. And you know, if you're not going to agree with every single issue on a party's platform, and you know, anybody that's 100% toeing the line for the Republican Party or the Democratic Party is an idiot, and there are a lot of them out there.
Yeah, they're
you know, it's okay to not agree with everything.
Exactly,
that's the people that they're going after with this.
Yeah. All right, good conversation on it. Now on to the news.
Give me the news.
The I came across some really good ones this week. All right. When you see women and they're mostly partially uncovered on top, if they're on a magazine or something, what they do, if you've ever walked by a newsstand, sometimes they'll show the whole breast, but they black out the nipples, right? Because nipples are scary. or they will show. Now, in this instance, this woman, and I verified this is a woman who has a nipple on the bottom of her foot. So what kind of surprised me was that instead of blacking out the bottom of the foot, they showed the nipple. And then, showed the nipple on the foot, and then they did a close-up of the nipple. They didn't show the rest of the foot. I mean, they could have been showing her breasts for all we knew, because it was it could have been, yeah, the nipple could have been on her breast. But what is it that about nipples that are scary, people? Really? I mean, if it's on a breast, it's scary. If it's on a foot, it's okay. I mean, what if we start growing nipples on our foreheads? Is this gonna make do we have to put black tape over them? Or because it's not in a lump of mass, it's sitting on our chest, does that make it less scary? I mean, I don't draw the line. I'm wondering where the line is there. They show the breast, they don't hide, but they hide the nipple, or they hide the nipple. But they show the breast or whatever, you know. You understand where I'm coming from on this, Dan? Your thoughts on this?
It's very prudish. I read about this, and you know, supernumerary nipples. People with, you know, four or six nipples. It's not really that unusual, but they're usually on a person's trunk and abdomen, not on the bottom of their foot.
Actually, real quick, this was actually the first recorded case of it being this far below the waistline. Usually, it's above the waistline or above. But go ahead.
But it's, you know, it's very prudish on behalf of the American establishment. I mean, there's full frontal nudity in advertising in Europe, and nobody thinks a thing about it. It just depends on what you're used to, and people over here aren't used to seeing women's chests for some reason. So I don't know. Nipples aren't scary unless they're Wookiee nipples like Chewbacca.
Eric, your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, in regards to what I've always been the one that says, look, if you want to put it on TV, put it on TV. As long as you're telling the public what they're in for, they need to make the judgment as if they want to watch it or not. So, this whole entire nudity thing never really was something that fazed me. And in fact, I fully support female nudity.
So, no sexism behind your
no
comment,
sexism
right?
Behind that. So, but the thing is I have a funny feeling. If you look at it, I think it's the difference between seeing something on CBS versus seeing something on National Geographic. You know, CBS and all that, they don't show anything. But if you turn it on National Geographic, they show almost everything. And I think that's the case here. Because it's scientific, it's okay. But if it was not scientific, you know, people would be up in arms about it.
Yeah, because...
And I think the fact that it's on the foot and not on a boobie, you know.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, like you said, if they jump around a fire and they're half naked and everything's flopping around, it's culture. Hey, that's fine. But if you show... Because if it's a, you know... I'm going to go here for just a minute. Because I did say that these people were jumping around a fire or whatever during a cultural thing. That would be most likely you see these kind of National Geographics. It's Africa. But if it's a white woman, then the breast is scary for some reason. It's just really strange. Unless we've got anything else to say about this, we've got one more quick news story here. Now, there was a dental breakthrough. A mouse stem was able to grow teeth. They used stem cells from a mouse to be able to grow teeth. Now, this is really interesting. Because if you see a lot of hockey players that got the big blacked out teeth, or people with the gaps in their teeth. David Letterman's a good one for that. if you ever seen David Letterman's big cheesy grin, but for the Dental Association, if they can get this to happen, I mean, where would this stand for us? I mean, could we be able to grow new teeth, possibly, basically our own, and replace teeth that are been lost from car accidents, gum disease, whatever, and just been able to be replanted back into our bodies? This would be a great wonder. Your thoughts on this, Eric?
First of all, hockey players are never going to replace their teeth. That's a badge of honor. No real hockey player worth his grain of salt is going to replace his teeth.
Eh?
No, I mean, you know, this is one of those advancements in medical practice that, you know, is great. Yeah, I think anything that we can, it's a start. You know, if we can start growing teeth, then maybe we can move on and possibly start growing limbs back. You know, it's really shown the true power that stem cells have, you know.
Yeah.
And if y'all don't know what stem cells are, it's basically, it's a cell that has no coded DNA information, so to speak.
That is absolutely correct.
There's no information in there. So they're able to take these cells and they can actually put in certain DNA code to make certain things happen. So it's only a matter of time before it's all back. It's going to be like Star Trek where, you know, they'll have a little sensor on it and all of a sudden you'll see the skin grow back and all that good stuff. I'm just waiting for that day. I think that'll be freaking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I'll cut off my arm just to go try that.
If you cut off your arm, I want you to take video because I want to watch it from beginning to end. I want you to see you cut that thing off, go to the hospital, say, grow me a new arm, but make it 6 inches longer. I want to be able to reach the top shelf.
You know, it kind of, have you seen the movie, it just came out, it stars Superman, or the, Roth, Brandon Roth. Oh my God, if someone can help me with the name of the movie.
What's the name?
Anyway, it's funny because they have like a kind of like a zombie kind of guy in there. He's not really a zombie, like, oh, I want to eat your brains. It's more like, you know, he's an undead is what he is. But somehow he lost his arm, so they had to reattach a new arm.
Yeah.
And it's like the wrong skin color, wrong length. He's like, it's the wrong arm. They're like, that's all they had. I can imagine it being, you know, a situation like that.
Well, we'll find the name of the movie and we'll put it in the show notes at packerpokes@wordpress.com.
Dylan Dog, I think, is the name. That's what it is.
Dan, your thoughts on this?
I think it's great. You know, there are many different types of stem cells. There are what people think of as fetal stem cells are often called plenipotentiary stem cells that can turn into pretty much any kind of cell in the body. There are some specifically that they're using in this instance that, you know, will only grow new teeth. It's like the ones they harvested for me will only grow back new blood cells.
Yeah.
Very, very cool technology.
Yeah, it is really cool. I mean, science marches on, and the God factor gets smaller.
Well, actually, since we're all kind of agreeing on it, I'm going to go ahead and disagree. I think this is a horrible thing. God. Next thing you know, we're going to be splicing animals and humans together.
You've been watching too much Batman Beyond.
actually, no, there was a story, and I mean, I know we're short on time and all that, but there is a story where they're starting to splice animal and human DNA together, and I was just sitting there like, why? Why are we doing this?
I can come up with multiple reasons, but none very good for the air.
Planet of the Apes is about to happen. Yeah. Watch.
That's not quite what I was thinking of, but I was thinking something. Never mind what I was thinking. I was. But let's get moving on.
Oh, yeah.
Since we finished the Ten Commandments, we're going to move on to some good hard news on religion. Now, I was looking for the story, and this one came up to me just the other day, and I was, again, livid. There's another reason why I've been grumpy. A Woodstock teen was beaten by his mother for not wanting to attend church. Apparently, he was a 17-year-old boy. See, I have a 17-year-old daughter, okay? I would not beat her for not wanting to attend church because she woke up early. That's what happened to the story. The boy woke up early to attend to their family pet. Took the dog out. Said, hey, you know, I'm too tired. Can I just skip church? The woman chased him down, broke down a door to get to him, and started beating on him. He's got bruises and stuff like that on him. And it's just bruises and welts appearing on his right arm. People think that that Christianity is all about peace. Is this peaceful? Is this peaceful? And yes, we will get to the story over in Norway here shortly, right after this. So anybody who's waiting for that, we will get to that. But anybody tells me that religion is peaceful is full of malarkey, and they don't know what they're talking about. Dan, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I couldn't believe that when I heard that. I mean, the fact that the woman went in and beat her 17-year-old son because he was too tired to go to church, that's that's pretty extreme.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot more going on there than just this one particular instance, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. This is the only one that maybe got caught, or the fact is maybe the one he was brave enough to report. Eric, your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm not going to condemn a religion for the case for one person, because if we're going to do that, then we're going to start looking at the Muslim culture, who has some wacko people who are blowing up.
Wait,
we're not going to condemn the Muslim religion. You know, I mean, basically, this is a crazy person. Or I shouldn't say, this person had an episode.
She definitely had an episode, but Eric, it's not just one.
Just think it's bad parenting. Well, again, if you're going to go ahead and make the case for that, then let's start looking at Muslims or even atheists. Some atheists go off the deep end and start, you know, doing wild things.
How many atheist stories have you seen about child getting beat by their parents because they didn't want to go to church?
There are plenty of reasons people can beat children for. You know, child abuse is child abuse. The reasoning behind
That's why when people who go to jail.
The reason why she beat the child doesn't take away from the fact that she beat the child. I mean, people beat children for a whole lot of different things.
Yes.
Do we condemn all the different things that people beat children for? No. This is just this person's reason. The person's crazy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to defend the person. What I'm saying is you're focusing in on it, because she is a religious nut, therefore she, you know, and that's not what
she
I'm saying.
She is a religious nut.
She just did something massively extreme, and she'd be punished because she did something massively extreme.
So you don't think the religion is to blame here? You think because she didn't want to go to take the child to church, you think that don't blame the religion, just blame the parent?
It's poor parenting is what this is. That's almost like, let's take hate crime legislation, for example. That's almost like me saying that because a white person beats a black person, or a black person beats a white person, or whoever beats whoever, you know, do you blame the whole culture because of that? No, because there are some people in the culture who actually support black rights or white rights or Chinese rights or whatever rights that we're talking about. You don't you look at the individual in that case, and that's what I'm saying here. Look at the individual. The individual is bad, not the religion.
So
because
in
all experiences that I've ever had in religion, I have yet to hear a priest say it is okay to beat your child because they didn't go to church.
Really? So I wish you, if I had known you were going to say that, I would. I know there's
a particular group that I can't remember the name of right now that was in the media a couple years ago and with specific instructions. No.
Them people are loony.
Yeah.
It's a particular group that they aren't really all that well known, but they had specific instructions on how to construct a device or a switch of some sort to beat your children with so that it wouldn't leave marks, so that you wouldn't be pulled into court.
No, that's just wrong. That's wrong.
Yeah, it's... Well, you know, I don't... And I don't it was all based on a... some misguided religious notion that, you know, they needed to beat their children.
Right. And, hang on a second, Eric. And okay. Another thing is real quick. If you don't think that religion, if you don't think religion is to blame, the Spanish Inquisition, that's all I got to say. Think about that for just a minute. These people were forcing their religion down their people's throats. And if they didn't abide by them, they didn't just beat them. They hung them, burned them at the stake, whatever. Just because they didn't want to go to their church or didn't want to believe or whatever, or put them on the thumb racks or put them on the rack. This is religion, Eric.
I didn't expect that.
You didn't expect. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Well, you know, but you got to look at the time period, though. You know, I mean, that's the 1800s. That now, I don't want to take away from the fact that I do not agree with what this woman did in any way, shape, or form. Okay, I'm not taking away from that, I want it to be known that I do not agree with the woman beating this child. There are other ways of handling something like this, you know.
Yeah, I understand that, but
I don't want it to make it sound like I'm trying to defend the woman. The thing that I'm trying to say is, you know,
trying to defend woman's religion.
The woman's crazy, you know. It's the aspect,
religion is,
you know,
crazy.
And within anything, you have a group of crazy people. There are groups of crazy people all over the place, you know, and I guess that's what I'm trying to say and point out, is that to me, it's just a crazy person doing something crazy.
Okay, so all those people that died in the Spanish Inquisition, those were just crazy people too?
Well, do we sit there and say all the people who followed Hitler are a bunch of crazy people? Do we condemn the whole, all of Germany because they, you know,
a lot of people
at
still
one
do.
Time?
A lot of people still do.
Yeah, four.
A lot of people still do. A lot of people still do.
And I understand that. But, I mean, things change, have they not?
Yeah, but the thing is, though, you're comparing...
But have things changed?
Hold
I mean,
on.
I'm not
hold
condemning
on.
Germany anymore. I'm not faulting
hold on
them.
A second, though.
You know, things happen.
All right, hold on a second. You said that that was back then. But as mm-hmm. Zach said in the previous, in one of our previous episodes, that the Bible is timeless. If the Bible is timeless, then it's the tenets has not changed. It's still relevant for these people today as it was back then. So excusing it today because it was a different time is not an excuse, because it's the same, because the law, the tenets of the Bible have not changed.
Well, what I'm saying is that we shouldn't condemn a whole group of people for the mistake of one. And yes, there are some groups of people who take things to the extreme. You know, and you know, and I guess whenever you make the Bible point to me, it's hard because, you know, we've already talked about the Bible, you know, and I've made it very clear that I'm not a literalist.
Yeah, I know you're not a literalist, but
so the whole entire Bible is kind of lost on me,
yeah.
You know, but the thing is you know, what I'm trying to say is that, you know, you have bad Christians, you have good Christians, you have bad atheists, you have good atheists, and what needs to be taken out is the fact of religion.
Why don't we, then, if that's the case, then why don't we just eliminate religion altogether? Then we won't have to worry about this tenet then, will we?
Well, if you believe in that, that's fine. But some people, you know, do believe in a higher authority of some kind. And if that's what they want to do, then that's what they want to do. That's why we live in the country we do, you know, is so that we can follow whatever principle you want.
I understand.
And if it's some type of organized religion versus some type of non-organized religion, you know, that's their choice. you know, the issue isn't so – the thing that we need to deal with as a culture is extremes. When anyone goes to the extreme, you know, there are issues. And that's what we have to start looking at, and that's what we have to start addressing, are those extremes, and say, you're kind of going off the deep end a little bit.
Yeah, I understand.
You have to kind of rail it back in, you know?
Yeah, I understand that. Zach made a good point in the chat room. It says, prove that there's a higher authority to go to. That makes it all that much more important here.
That they, and Zach, that is your belief, and if you want to run with it, knock yourself out.
Yeah. But anyway, all right, on to the next story here. The Catholic Church and sex abuse. Well, we didn't think to see that coming. Like Spanish,
when isn't that going on?
Yeah, the allegations doubled up in 1 year. I mean, weren't the Catholic Church has not learned. They have not learned. They get all these. They're getting lawsuits left and right. They're getting sued left and right. So, what do we do about it? Do we stop it? Do we slow it down? Do we bring this to a halt? No. Let's make it more of it. Let's go and let's and screw around with more people's lives and make them believe nonsense and then tell them to, hey, by the way, why don't you bend over and then I'll show you God's love. I mean, good grief. Dan, your thoughts on this? Then we'll cover the Aslo thing.
Again, you know, you got to keep in mind this is the sex abuse allegations that have doubled. I'm not defending the Catholic Church, but this doesn't mean that the abuse is increasing.
Okay.
This just means that the allegations about past abuse have increased.
And so you think
I don't think that the abuse is as rampant as it was, because now these guys are afraid of going to jail.
Right. No, I was going to say, do you think that maybe, like you said, it was a past abuse? Maybe, do you think that maybe people are I'm trying to think here. They're trying. They're coming out more now.
I think they are. I think people are ready to. They're ready to acknowledge that their own church, their own faith, the people that they trusted, did this to them.
Yeah.
That would be a monumental thing to try to admit to, that abuse of any type, whether it's you know sexual abuse from a family member or a clergy member, someone that you look up to and that implicitly you're supposed to trust them with your life, and they do this type of thing to you. Can you imagine? I cannot imagine the guilt and just utter self-loathing that would come along with something like that.
Yeah, I can't. I don't even try to think of something like that, because it's just. It's mentally damaged to them, where they actually, a lot of them, I'm willing to bet you, had committed suicide because they couldn't live with the shame and fear that these people have put onto them like this. Eric, your thoughts on this?
I think basically Dan summed up pretty much the same thing that I was going to say. You know, this is one of those things where, you know, it's allegations, and, you know, we have to be very, very careful with allegations, because nothing's been proven in this case. Now, Catholic Church has done some very awful things.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things being where they tried to cover up these priests who were touching little boys. Were there any cases where they touched little girls? I'm sure the boys are the ones that always make the news. But
I'm sure there have.
Something tells me that there have been girls involved, but... Oh, yeah. You know, and the Catholic Church should have dealt with this when they did. So the thing is that they really need to address, you know, they need to deal with this. They can't let this go on any further.
Yeah.
And
okay. There's you may want to cut this out of the podcast when you release it, but you know what Catholic priests like about 10-year-old girls?
Oh, what's that?
Oh, boy.
Turn them over, they look just like 10-year-old boys.
Oh! Oh, that's bad.
For all you crazy Christians out there who do listen to the podcast, that was Dan.
Get it. Real unrelated. actually, you know, that's... Well, I might leave that in. I don't know. I'll make the decision a little bit later. All right. Anyway, we'll move on to the next story. I don't have it in front of me, but because I wasn't going to cover it, but I've been getting a lot of urge from the chat room to cover this about the story over in Norway. The this guy over there, because he's white, he's not a Christian. Because he's white, they say, oh, well, he's not a Christian. Although in the manifesto he wrote, he had over 2,224, I could be wrong in the last two digits, but I think it was over 2,000 references to Christ. The guy was baptized when he was 15. He apparently attended some church value things or whatever, and he was a devout Christian. Now, I don't want to discuss people who say, well, he's not a Christian, because this Christian people don't do that. And again, the Spanish Inquisition, again, we'll go there. Because they forced their values on somebody else. This guy was forcing his values at the point of a gun. He blew and with a bomb. He blew up a building and attacked kids, little kids, that were at a political youth rally. And Bill Comeover, O'Reilly, had called said that, hey, these people, because they were at a, called them Hitler Youth. Well, this particular lib, because if they had been a conservative group, he would have been all over them like white on rice. But because they were a liberal group, this liberal group that he called Hitler Nazis was basically fought the Nazis in World War II. So if you're listening, anybody out there that's listening to Fix News and listens to this guy, please stop. This guy is a nut. O'Reilly's bad enough of a nut job. And to claim that this guy's not a Christian, but let's turn this around. This other guy the Muslim guy who was in the military, the only thing that he had on him was one business card that said something about Allah on it. One business card versus a guy, but he's a fundamentalist Muslim guy who killed because of his faith. But this guy who's got a religious thing or wrote a whole doctrine with over 2,000 references to Jesus, he's not a Christian? Baloney. Baloney. Dan, your thoughts?
You know, it's, you know, if somebody goes off the deep end like this and is a mass murderer, it doesn't matter what religious faith they have, if any.
Yeah.
Unless you get to a case like this, when they're doing where they're performing their heinous crime in the name of their religion.
Yeah, this is what he was doing.
That's the big thing. You know, there are people who will say that, oh, he wasn't a real Christian. A real Christian wouldn't do that. Well, so who's a real Christian? Yeah. Anybody that says they're a Christian is a real Christian. I'm not going to say that, you know, there are people who will say, well, I'm an atheist, but I think this, this, and this. I can't say that they're not a real atheist. You know, in my own mind, I can't do that, because I hear the same thing about people saying, oh, well, that's not what a real Christian would do.
Right.
That's what an extremist Christian does.
Right.
That's what an extremist Muslim does. That's what an extremist Hasidic Jew does. It doesn't matter. They're doing things in the name of whatever their particular faith is, even if it's Jim Jones in Guyana. And they are misguided. They are nut jobs. And unfortunately, a lot of religious behavior leads to this type of thing.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but it happens.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is a societal control and, you know, ends up being basically brainwashing.
Yeah. It is. It basically is. I mean, people say these guys can't be a Christian because Christian wouldn't kill people. Christians kill people. That's why our prisons are full of Christians. Less than 1% of the population in our prisons are atheists. I mean, there was that. Several months ago, the guy that went into CNN headquarters or whatever, and they said he was an atheist. But, you know, if he was or wasn't, doesn't make a difference in this in that case, because the simple fact is he was a nut, and if he was an atheist, we don't have anything to do with him, because he was mentally unbalanced for some reason. But we don't know. I don't know. I think he was killed, so I really don't know the whole details on that. But it was just one of those things, unfortunately. But Christians overall kill more people than atheists do. So just because this one guy was an atheist and he killed these people doesn't make all atheists bad. Like this one like this guy here, just because he's a Christian doesn't make all Christians bad, but it does make him bad. So we got to make that distinction right there. But just because you can't say a whole group is bad because one person doesn't, because they are, everybody's an extremist. It's just a matter of when they decide to flip out. Eric, your thoughts?
We kind of discussed this a little bit before, and you know, I think you summed it up at the end very, very well, where, you know, this guy, regardless of the reasoning why he did it, is a nut job.
Yeah.
You know, and I will go ahead and I will say, if his reasoning was Christian, then he is a terrorist. He is a Christian terrorist. You know, and I know that's not the PC thing to say, because, you know, right now everything's looking at Muslim, but there are some crazy Christians out there, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, if we need to point fingers, look at the Westboro Baptist Ministry, you know? Those are some crazy people.
Oh, yeah, they are. You know, it's funny, though, real quick, that the thing that Rick Perry's going to be doing, the atheist group and the Westboro Baptist Church are going to be protesting Rick Perry's thing. That is there is something really strange going on there.
But you know, the thing is that, you know, this guy is crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, the only thing that gets me in this whole entire circumstance is, you know, do you remember whenever they had the military guy who went crazy?
That's the guy I was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was actually a Muslim and all that. I just don't like how quickly they, you know, will drop the Muslim aspect to a person, but whenever it's a Christian, it's like, oh, the Christian, you know. I don't like the hypocritical stance.
Yeah, that's exactly, you know, it. That's exactly it.
The thing is that, you know, this person had a whole lot more issues than just, you know, the guy, first of all, was a racist, you know, who didn't believe in multiculturalism. And I'm sorry, you know, the way the world is working now, you have to believe in multiculturalism, and all cultures have to work together, whether you're white, black, Chinese, Hispanic. We all need to work together.
What if they're from Mars? Do we have to get along with them?
What? I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. I said, what if they're from Mars? Do we have to get along with them?
Yep. If they're from Mars and they're here, boom, we got to get...
What if they're green, you know, and they want to kill us?
Because this balkanization isn't working. We all need to work together.
Yes.
And if there's anything I'm a strong advocate for, is everyone needs to chip in and work together to make a better society and culture.
Yeah.
And the thing is this guy not only supported or was extreme Christian, evidently, but he also had some very strong views about getting all immigrants out of the country. You know, my every once in a while, my mother and I will have discussions about extreme polar and all that. And, you know, we try and think of examples of extreme left and extreme right. Extreme left, in my case, would be someone like Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro.
Me.
And, well, I would say Hugo Chavez has some pretty far-reaching ideas.
You know, the thing is, though, Eric, if this guy hadn't been a Christian, and the religion thing had not even come up, but they had attacked a bunch of conservatives, children out there, then this thing would have been said. It was politically motivated. They would not even have brought up the religious aspect of it. But seeing that he was religious and he attacked liberals, then they made it the Fox News people made these children look like they're the bad guys here.
Well, you know, and I always kind of laugh, you know, because Fox News, yeah, I laugh at Jon Stewart because everyone says Jon Stewart is pretty straight down the middle, and I laugh about it because, you know, for the most part, I'm gonna say I do enjoy Jon Stewart, but you know, the thing that I always point out is, you know, every episode, Jon Stewart would make fun of Fox News.
Oh, yeah.
But to me, Fox News and MSNBC are the same thing, but different stances on it. You know, Fox News is right, MSNBC is left. So, and it's funny whenever the two mixies go against each other, because it's like, y'all are the same thing, you know? It's just Fox News supports a more right slant of the news. MSNBC supports the far left view of things, you know? It's like, and really and truly, I just want news to be that hard-hitting, here are the facts, here's what you need to know, and it doesn't matter side. Yeah. You know, because regardless, news has some slant. And, you know, this is the thing with Fox News is, first of all, it's number one, so it's easy to attack. And number two, they're very outright with their opinions. And they will sit there and say, hey, guess what? You know, this is what we believe. MSNBC, you have, he's on the Young Turks. And I do listen to him every once in a while because I do like getting the other side of the story.
I forget his name, but I know who you're talking
about. It's like Sink something or other.
I mean, the guy.
But you cannot tell me that dude does not have a bias of some kind. You cannot tell me that he doesn't. And you can't tell me that he isn't in journalism, they say you have to be objective. So if that guy has a bias, can we consider him a journalist, or is he just an opinion piece?
Yeah, but Zach just
said, that make sense?
Yeah, but it does. Zach just said here in the chat room, but the news a news format that doesn't take sides doesn't make money.
And yeah. I understand that, and that's the thing that, you know, and I understand all that, but you know, that's why I try not to watch any news. I just go online. But with this guy, you know, he is just crazy.
Yeah.
Just like the Tuscan guy is freaking nuts.
Yeah.
And we need to and the surprising thing is now this is Norway. Now is Norway kind of progressive, like I don't know, and if we have any international people, please correct me, but is Norway as progressive as Sweden?
I'm not really sure, but that's a good question. Drop us a line at poker.
Poker packs.
Is that the site that you go to that gets you blocked on Google?
Yeah, dang it. I'm playing too much poker. No, that's that PackardPokes at gmail.com. Drop us a line and we'll get that out to Eric, or drop Eric a line on Twitter and we'll find out. We are way long tonight, so we're going to get running right along.
Well, can I just say one thing?
All right, make it quick, please.
If it is progressive, and I'm surprised that he didn't get the mental help that he needed, you know? I would think that this stuff would be caught early on.
There are some people that just slipped through the cracks. Look at
I guess you're right. I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, that's it. I'm done.
All right. No problem. Okay. Moving on to the next segment. Our funny tweet is from N2Horsen. That's N2Horsen. It was a retweet of Marilyn D6378. The names will be up on Twitter and on the site here. She retweeted her, who said, "There should be only one world's greatest dad shirt, and you should have to kill the previous owner to wear it."
That's a good Harry Potter reference right there.
My oldest daughter said something about this. What do you remember what you said about that? Yeah, come over here. You got to hear. She's put it succinctly. So just. You're gonna come down here. Don't wave at the microphone. It's not gonna do anything. Just go ahead and say it. Don't be embarrassed.
No.
It's okay. I don't remember what she said. But it was really. What was it that you said? No, you know she's got stage fright. No problem. But it was really funny. But it would be something to have to. Oh no, I now remember. She said you'd see hordes of dads defending the title, so of having the greatest dad shirt. So you'd have these quests for the oracle of the greatest dad shirt. I could just.
You'd have junior high school kids taking bets in the back room.
There you go. This would be something that could be on pay-per-view. World's Greatest Dad 2000.
Would they also have a shirt with the world's worst dad?
Then that would be everybody then. I suppose.
Well, no, I mean, you could rank it. You could be like number one, number two. We all have the shirts, you know, and your goal is to try and get to that number one spot.
Oh yeah, that would be kind of. Oh there we go. Like the old West thing. The 46th fastest gun, and you're trying to become number 44.
45. 44. Something like that.
Irving.
Yeah, the Ballad of Irving. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know. What size shirt does Newt Gingrich wear, anyway?
A size extra stolen. all right, we're moving on.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout out tonight is for Ethan Siegel. I forget who dropped this in here. Is that you, Dan?
That would be me.
All right. Tell us about Ethan Siegel.
Ethan is he's a theoretical astrophysicist. He teaches up at Lewis and Clark College in Portland, Oregon.
All right.
And he has the Starts With a Bang blog on scienceblogs.com.
Cool.
And Ethan has amazing and informative blog posts about cosmology and cosmogony. If you want to know about the origins of the universe, Ethan is the man to go to. And he needs more followers on Twitter. So Ethan can be reached on Twitter. His handle on there is Starts With a Bang, all one word.
That is a great handle. That is a great handle, Starts With a Bang. Absolutely. If you're out there and you're following the show here, follow Starts With a Bang. Not only because it's a great handle, but because we need more astrophysicists on Twitter. I mean, to sell all the greatest stuff in the universe down to 140 characters. That takes talent.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right. Well, we did run a little long tonight. I thank you, everybody, for sticking around in the chat room. Join us again next week, next Friday, for here at peckerpoked@wordpress.com. You can reach Eric on Twitter as...
I have no thoughts.
That's right. Do you want to spell it for our listening audience now this time?
I-H-A-V-E-N-O-T-H-O-U-G-H-T-S.
Yes, it's very good. And Dan, you can be found on Twitter as?
I'm on Twitter as Rel Unrelated. That's RELUNRELATED.
Right, and you can find the show and the show notes at PackardPokesat.wordpress.com. You can find me on Twitter as Packard, P-A-C-K-A-R-D, _Sonic, S-O-N-I-C. You can find the show on Twitter as PackardPokesat, all one word. Okay, again, thanks everybody for coming. Have a great evening, and we will see you next time here on Packard Pokesat.
And that's a wrap.